traditional media, social media, technology, robots, virtual reality, all of these things have a profound impact on our lives, especially our intimate lives. And to explore this topic in great detail, especially in the bedroom, I'm having a special show with a special guest named Kate Moyle. She is an accredited psychosexual and relationship therapist in central London, and she specializes with working with those that are struggling with difficulties with their sex lives and sexuality, including many people in their 20s and 30s who are impacted by the stresses of modern life. We're going to cover all of this. You can check Kate out online at katemoyle.co.uk and her Pillow app. Check it out at pillow.io. I can't wait to read the comments that you have about today's interview. Welcome to Liberate Your Authentic Self with Dr. Andrea Pennington, the prescription for living your life out loud. Tune in daily to get fired up with insight and inspiration for purposeful living, conscious relationships, and soulful success. So, Kate Moyle, welcome back to Liberate Your Authentic Self. It's good to connect with you again.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me back on, Andrea. Loved our conversations last time.
Well, we always get into the really juicy, fun stuff about sex and love and relationships. So I love talking with you. And I love that you, one of your missions is really to help break the stigma and the taboo around sex so that we can really make this a mainstream conversation. Don't you think that's what everyone should do?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I've never really understood why sex has this kind of different status when it comes to things that we're able to talk about or not able to talk about. And, you know, very much in my work as a psychosexual therapist, I see that reflected because people are saying this is the first time I've ever been able to talk to anyone about this, or I just feel like this isn't the kind of thing I can talk about somewhere else, or it's not the kind of conversation you'd normally have with someone. And so many of people's difficulties and problems when it comes to sex are really exacerbated by the fact that they feel like they can't talk about it, or that it's something that's shameful or taboo or stigmatized, or that what could be quite a simple problem is made complicated by the fact that it's something that then can't be spoken about.
And where do you think is the greatest influence? So we realize that sex education isn't necessarily happening in the school system, which means maybe parents and families aren't getting together to talk about sex. Kids are kind of learning from their peers or porn on the internet. So I think there are a lot of different influences. Where do you see the biggest culprit in making just a conversation around sex so taboo?
Yeah, I mean, sex education is obviously the big one, but I think that it goes further back than that. I think it's historical, actually, that it's just something that was never talked about, that man, sex was something that should have happened, you know, within a marriage, and so therefore for it to be happening outside of that wasn't considered good or okay or something that should be happening. And I think it goes back as far as that, that sex is hidden and that every generation has had its sexual stories passed on from one generation to the next generation, and we are kind of getting there. And then we see, you know, the invention of the pill and things like that, kind of the sexual revolution, if you want to think of it that way. And so things are changing, but it's always held this space. I don't think this is anything new. I think it kind of almost dates back to the beginning of time.
Right. But now that society has changed, you brought up the pill. So people are not just having sex for procreation to keep mm-hmm. the species going. People are engaging in sexual activity for pleasure and probably a whole other host of reasons, right? Like we know that women have, in one of the studies about why women have sex, there's like 90-something reasons that one researcher found. But so with the advances that we see, people are engaging in sex for pleasure, not just for procreation. And yeah, sex outside of marriage is pretty much the norm for these generations that we're living in now. And because technology is also playing a huge role in not just sex, but the way we relate to one another. And of course, you are part of the solution, I believe, with the Pillow Play app that you've created. But before we start talking about the app, I'd really love to get a sense for how you think technology is impacting our intimacy today.
And one thing I'll just say from kind of following on from you there is I actually think people have been having sex for pleasure for, again, that entire time. It's just that it's never been something that was allowed to be talked about or considered like okay to talk about. Whereas now we're in a time where it's okay to be having sex. And actually, it might be more the norm to be having sex with lots of people or more than one person or outside of a relationship or lots of people kind of are happy to have sex with someone they might only have sex with and see once. And so it's more, actually, I don't think the way that we're having sex has necessarily kind of changed that much. It's just how it's more open. But I think technology has had a huge, huge impact, and for the positive and for the negative. The big point that always comes up when we talk about technology is obviously the internet is obviously pornography, and that people are getting access to pornography from a very young age, and that might be their kind of primary source of education, which, when we're having a conversation about sex education is a whole another part of it. But also that it changes the way that people meet, it changes the way that people converse, it's changing the way that people connect. We're having this conversation now, that face to face, that it's, you could have a partner who's in Australia and one who's in the UK, and they can feel like they're in the same room, and that's kind of amazing, and it means those relationships are much more possible. But the difficulty is that when people are there in person together, that it can get in the way of those person to person in real life, face to face interactions.
Right, because we see couples all the time, sitting at a beautiful restaurant with a beautiful meal in front of them, and they've got their smartphone out, either to take a picture of said beautiful meal, or they're busy having a conversation with someone else instead of with the person directly in front of them.
Yeah, and they're not fully then engaging in what's happening then and there. I always find the irony of that is that people are taking photos of the food rather than looking at it and enjoying it and kind of imprinting it on their memory. And so there is something in that we're so preoccupied by technology, by our phones, and they are preoccupying. We have alerts constantly going off that there's emails and messages and apps and notifications, and there's so much going on that we feel like if we're not connected to them, that we're going to be missing out on something, or something important will happen without us, or something at work will happen, or we're then disconnected in some way. But the irony of that is we are more disconnected than being with the people who we're with in person.
Exactly. So that fear of missing out, that it sort of sets up this sort of psychological, neurological urge to always be checking. And it's almost like an addiction. I mean, people are saying that scientists have shown that you'll get a little burst of dopamine, which is, that little drug that we naturally produce that gives us that high. So when people see, oh, somebody liked my post, oh, so and so shared my post, like they get that little burst of dopamine. So it can be addictive.
Absolutely. And it goes into, stuff that is way before technology. It's people like me, people appreciate me, people are sharing my stuff, people are telling people about me. That is really addictive, because as human nature is that we want to feel special, we want to feel valued, we want people to care for us, and that it's in a way it's a kind of modern version of being shown that. But the sad thing is that when that's all going on, we are actually talking to someone, but we haven't really been listening to what they've been saying because we've been reading our email so at the same time, or checking our notifications at the same time. And it's that, sorry, what did you say? Kind of moment, and actually that leaves the partner who was saying something thinking, I mean, why did I even bother? Why do I try? And they're not feeling then special and valued and paid attention to. So it's the same kind of problem, just in different forms.
Right. So as much as technology can connect us, so like the example you gave, I could have my beloved is over in Australia and I'm here in France and we feel connected. And yet it is that very technology that can get in the way of us if we are sitting in the same room as one of our loved ones. My daughter Sienna, she found that if I had the phone at the table, I was more likely to pick it up. So she instituted a rule. She was like, okay, no electronics at the table. From now on, we have meal time, no alerts or dinging or ringing or buzzing, and we just interact with each other. And that's really critical. But one of the things that I know you believe in, and I believe it's true, is we can actually use our technology. So if we're already addicted to it, and most all of us have some sort of a smart device, we can use the technology to connect with our partner. And you've helped us move in that direction by co-founding this app company. So the Pillow Play app, tell me about it.
Yes, so we made Pillow for exactly this reason. So we actually kind of recently changed from Pillow Play to just Pillow
Oh,
app.
it's
So we've
just Pillow
gone back
Play.
there, yeah. But just in case people are kind of wanting to look it up, but we so much of it was because we felt that couples are so busy nowadays and that people are reporting kind of having less sex, that couple, we see divorce rates at an all-time high, that couples are really struggling, that lots of people are kind of reaching out and searching online for advice as to kind of how to increase desire in my relationship, how to feel closer to my partner, how to increase intimacy. And Darren Smith, who is the founder of Pillow, kind of saw that he used to work in gaming for children. And he was like, why do children get all this playfulness and we as adults don't? I don't understand that. We encourage children to play. We encourage children to kind of be more free and more relaxed and more fun. And he wanted to kind of take that element into kind of something for adults. And we wanted to use technology, which is causing that problem with people, so getting in the way of intimate interactions, as the solution. And that's kind of what we created in Pillow. And in a nutshell, they are audio guided follow along intimacy episodes for couples. So the focus is completely on each other rather than on the technology. The goal isn't to do something and then get points or to play a game. It's the goal is complete focus on each other and for the two of you to be in the moment together and to actually connect without distraction, aided by being kind of talked through it.
And so, do you find that couples feel resistant to that idea that there has to be someone guiding them, or are they open to being led?
Yeah, I think most people that are checking out the app, most couples that are checking it out, at first it's a bit strange. We get lots of feedback, which is, for the first couple of minutes we kind of laughed through it together. We were both a bit nervous, or it felt a bit different, but it is a bit different. But once you get into it, the beauty of it is, and it's quite a kind of mindfulness based approach, I suppose, is that you cannot be listening to something and doing something and also then distracted and thinking at the same time. So you have to choose to focus your attention on something. And that the couples that are doing and enjoying the episodes are really focusing their attention on each other. So there is obviously that kind of fear or resistance, with anything new, especially if we're bringing it to an intimate, vulnerable space into our relationships. But the feedback we've actually had has been brilliant, and that people do feel closer and they do really feel like it works.
So why don't you just describe to me what an episode is like? I mean, is it like steamy, hot, juicy, erotic something or other, or what?
So some of them are a bit kind of more sexual, a bit more sensual. So that we have a variety. So currently we have 30 different episodes, and they vary completely from some which are as simple as just 5 minutes of eye contact or hugging, appreciation. Some are more communication based, so they might be kind of discussing and revisiting memorable moments from your relationships together. Some are more touch based, more sensual based. One is guiding you through 15 different types of kissing. And for example, if we focus on that one, it's kisses that start really light and gentle. So they might be kind of on the hand or up the arm, and they lead up to being more sexual. So they might lead up to kind of neck kissing or, kissing with tongues or kind of touching your ears. But the idea is that every episode has a little bit of something different. So it might be that you want to focus on touch today, so there are a series of touch-based episodes. You might want to just connect by talking, so there are talking-based episodes. There are episodes that play with the senses, so are more experimental. There's one called the Time Bomb, where you set an alarm clock for 20 minutes and you have to engage in touch, which is avoiding the areas of the body normally touched during sex. And then once the alarm clock goes off, you can kind of take that wherever you decide you'd like to. But so it's about our building anticipation and wanting and desire and arousal and how we understand those processes as well.
I love it. So it really is first about, well, you can start anywhere, but there are programs for connection, for helping people to kind of break the ice if they have either been in a fight or they've just been sort of in their heads all day so that they can reconnect, face to face, eye to eye.
And that some of the episodes are as short as 5 minutes. We appreciate that people are really busy. They don't have the time and they're thinking, okay, well, do we have to go out for dinner and then come home and then try and have sex? And that takes out a whole evening and I don't have that. And so we're really kind of trying to accommodate all couples and see how that can help them from home and from the comfort of their own home.
Nice. Well, speaking of the comfort of one's own home, one of the things that a lot of people are talking about is this whole Netflix and chill phenomenon where people are getting together. They might even be in the same bed, but they've got the laptop or they've got the smart TV showing some program on Netflix. So when we get back from the break, I really want to dive into these media reports that say that couples are having much less sex than 30 years ago. So, is it just streaming movies or what else when we get back?
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep, but it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Welcome to the new era in talk radio, America Out Loud, providing you with diverse voices, heated discussions, and honest opinions about life, love, politics, health, and well-being. Discover the Out Loud perspective to society and lifestyle, politics, your faith, and and spirituality, personal development, and living an out loud life. You're listening to Liberate Your Authentic Self with Dr. Andrea Pennington. So, how close and intimate do you feel to your beloved? Do you ever find that social media or technology gets in the way? Well, my conversation today with Kate Moyle from Pillow will help to shed some light on how you can create that spark and that connection, and yes, quite possibly have more mind-blowing sex. So, Kate, before we went to the break, we were talking about what gets in the way of couples really having that intimate connection. And one of the things you brought to my attention was that there are media reports that say that couples are having much less sex than they did 30 years ago. I threw out the whole Netflix and chill phenomenon, but I'd really like to hear from you. What are these different aspects that are causing people to have less sex when you'd think that with all the apps and the hookups and this more open mentality, you'd think that couples would be doing it more?
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, the Netflix and chill is like a whole kind of different side of things that we're hearing from people. And
well, let's again, start there then. Let's start yeah. there.
It's just, you know, it's, I think also it's about kind of starting, it's kind of code for let's go and have sex or let's take this home or let's go and get more intimate without people actually kind of clearly communicating about what they'd like or what they'd like.
Okay.
Sex they'd like to be having, because there's this lack of confidence, this lack of kind of conversation about sex.
So what I hear you saying then is that it's a bit of a misnomer. So some people have clearly said they get into the bed, but they end up just watching show after show after show, and they don't have sex. But you're saying in the common vernacular, because people use this term Netflix and chill, that it might actually be a secret invitation, like, oh yeah, come on over. It's going to be, you know, just a chill night. And that's kind of their code way to get more intimate?
I think it's a bit of both. Yeah, I think that, you know, I think the danger is, again, we're talking about distraction, aren't we? You know, people are watching TV series, and I mean, there is some really good stuff on Netflix at the moment. Yeah. But that it is a distraction, again, it's about kind of getting into bed, people are tired, they feel like we're working longer hours, and the 9-to-5 model isn't kind of existing as much. And actually that people are wanting to go home and, you know, do nothing or get into bed and watch a movie. And that can either be a great place to kind of get into bed and get comfy and then to get it on as a result of that, or that actually people are just exhausted. But that it's another barrier then to trying to have sex or trying to be intimate. So there's, you know, lots of different sides to this coin.
And what about, you know, the social media aspect? That's one thing that you were mentioning to me before.
I think the problem is, I mean, I work with a lot of people in their 20s and 30s who are kind of dealing with the pressures of their sex lives and relationships and intimate lives. And I think that what is a huge part of it is that we're constantly looking at how other people's lives look,
right,
and they're filtered and looking wonderful, and this person's gone off to New York for a few days, and this person is on holiday, and they've got this great job, and like new clothes, and their relationship is perfect, and their boyfriend looks perfect, and you know, even the dog looks perfect. And it's just this idea that everybody else's lives look so fantastic all the time, and then we are struggling or finding things a bit hard or financially not having a great month, or, you know, and we're constantly kind of comparing ourselves to other people, but it's the versions of themselves that other people are putting out there, not actually the realistic versions of themselves. But we know that it works. We look at all of these businesses nowadays that are, you know, born out of things like Instagram, where it's aspirational.
Yeah.
But the difficulty is, you know, when we are looking around trying to compare our lives to other people, we're doing it ultimately through things like social media, and it's not actually having a conversation with someone where they might say, well, you know, it's not all as it seems, or us sitting having coffee with that person who looks like they're having the most wonderful time all the time, and they say, I'm having the worst week, and we just talk about it, because it's the strong, powerful, beautiful, you know, filtered approach that we're seeing.
Mm-hmm. But that is this idea that women in particular get into their heads, and during, you know, their what we would hope would be a nice steamy lovemaking session, they're so busy in their heads comparing themselves to some ideal. Like, that didn't just happen with social media. You know, the good old Masters and Johnson and people from time immemorial have been talking about this idea that we get in our heads, we start to criticize or judge ourselves, our performance, our body. You know, we wonder, you know, is my partner really liking this? Am I doing this right? So how do you help people get past that comparison to just be present?
Yeah, it's a huge part of what I do as a psychosexual therapist, because the way that I kind of talk it through with people is you can't split your attention between being in your body and then being in your head at the same time. So basically you have to pick one. And if you're always feeling slightly anxious or stressed or preoccupied with thoughts, the side you'll always go for is being in your head, because we know that, for example, if you're even feeling slightly anxious, that you're not going to let go of that anxiety. You're not just going to go, okay, well, it's an indication something might potentially be wrong. You know, we're fearful about something that might happen in the future. And that keeps us in our heads and means that we're actually experiencing less in our bodies. So, you know, your partner could be stroking your arm and you wouldn't really be able to tell them what they've just done, because it kind of sits in the background, and in the foreground is the thoughts. Is this, how am I looking? You know, do they think I look okay? Are they having a good time? Am I having a good time? You know, what have I got to do tomorrow? And we basically kind of encourage people, well, I definitely encourage people in my practice to have to get into their bodies. And it's quite permission giving. It's about saying, okay, well, how can we stop you being so in your head? What are those thoughts about? What is the worst case scenario here? Because quite often those thoughts will lead to the worst case scenario. And the worst case scenario could be, for example, sexual dysfunction would be a perfect example here. But it may have been born out of an experience with a partner who said something which dented our confidence or put that thought in our head. You know, we had an emotional reaction to it and that emotional reaction hurt. And so we then kind of hold on to that hurt and we're constantly worried about it being reactivated.
And so how do you get them out of it? I mean, is it just a matter of, okay, we're going to bring your thoughts into this therapy session where we can hash it out, and then when you get back into your lovemaking session, just focus on your body. Is that it? You know, focus on sensation and focus on your partner. And
yeah, I mean, in what it is in the therapy is we're kind of trying to tackle the thoughts, to understand the thoughts more. So we might go through kind of negative thought patterns, where they came from, the origin of them, and then challenge them with positive ones. But techniques, for example, like running through the five senses when you're with a partner. So it is impossible to not be in the moment, because you are having to focus on what is happening right then and right there by running through the senses, by focusing on the touch, by almost describing the touch to yourself. Quite often I encourage clients to do these exercises on their own first, so they get a feel for them, and then they can take them into, you know, the space with their partner. But also things like noticing what's happening in their body. So do they feel anxious and they're noticing that their heart rate is faster or their breathing is faster or they feel hotter? And then when you talk through what might be going on, you're kind of saying, well, could that also be arousal? You know, there's a similar, you know, chemical characteristics of arousal, but you've been assuming it's anxiety or you've been feeling like it's anxiety. And so also bodily awareness is a huge part of it.
Mm.
And taking away the pressure. So quite often if the pressure is penetrative sex or intercourse, and that's where the focus of the anxiety is, if we can take that off the table temporarily and just say, okay, what I really would like you to do is to not have sex for 2 weeks, but I'd really like you as a couple to engage in touch and to be playing with each other and to really being sensual and connecting without the pressure for it to have to go anywhere. So there is no need for this fear about performance.
Yeah.
And that taking that away sometimes can just be a bit of a relief for lots of people. Because if that's where the fear lies, what it means they do is that they can't enjoy everything before that because they're just worried about what's going to happen at the end.
Yeah. Are there other types of anxiety besides performance anxiety that you're seeing a lot of?
Yeah, I mean, lack of self-confidence is another huge thing, and lack of sexual confidence. And again, I think that there is a lot about that that comes from media, social media, kind of seeing very sexualized imagery, you know, of adverts, for example, and that in every series and film, everyone's having perfect, great, wonderful sex and the same pornography. And then you get home and have okay sex. You know, it's maybe not wonderful, but like everybody, sometimes we have great sex, sometimes we have average sex, sometimes we have mind-blowing sex, sometimes it's slow, fast, there's a variety. But then we're thinking, okay, well, that wasn't like what I watched yesterday.
Mm.
So am I the person that's got this wrong here? And more often than not, we self-criticize rather than thinking, okay, well, you know, that was set up to be perfect sex. It was set up to be that way. We're much more likely to go, okay, well, that must be something I've done wrong.
Mm-hmm.
How do I make sure I don't do that wrong next time? What did my partner think about that? But I can't ask them. And, you know, that whole kind of cycle starts rolling then.
Yeah, I mean, I find that a lot. You know, certainly when I was researching my book, I heard from people saying that they had these unrealistic expectations in their minds, whether it came from porn, thinking that, oh, all girls must like this, or, you know, when a guy does this, that's supposed to produce pleasure, but I didn't experience pleasure. So they think that there's something wrong with them or that they're not meeting up to these expectations.
Mm. And I think we set such high expectations for ourselves. We really do. And if anything, when it comes to sex, they could even be higher because we're not realistically comparing them and talking to other people about it. We don't sit down for lunch with our colleagues and say, how was the sex you had last night? You know, mine was all right, but I don't really know how she was feeling. And, you know, I felt a bit confused afterwards, but we weren't able to, you know, we don't talk about that. Whereas if we'd have had a meeting or given a presentation at work or, you know, had a disagreement with a friend, we'd sit down with those colleagues and say, good, can I just talk about that? Like, it really didn't sit that well with me. What did you think? Or can I ask you? And we don't have that open dialogue, which then helps us to explore. So the natural instinct is then to kind of self-criticize, self-examine, self-analyze. And with no one to talk to about it, we tend to kind of go down the worst case scenario path because we're not getting validation or checking with anyone else.
So would you recommend that couples have a little debrief on their sex?
Yeah, I think I'd recommend that couples talk about sex outside the bedroom, you know, having those conversations about sex when they're not having sex, you know, or even just kind of making it playful, being like, okay, so when do you think the best sex we ever had was? Or, you know, I quite often ask couples that. I'm like, could you tell me about a time you remember having really great sex? And interestingly, you know, quite often they say different times. And when you kind of explore that with them, it might be because they felt really close to one another, or they felt like they just had a lot of fun, or they tried something different, or they just felt really connected, or they hadn't seen each other for a few weeks, and so it made them feel really close. There's no formula for great sex, but every couple can kind of work that out on their own, but communicating about it and checking in with each other about it is a pretty good way of working out what's going on.
Well, that's a good segue, I think, into my next question, which is, what other tips do you have for us? So when we get back from the break, other than communication, Kate, I'm going to ask you if you can help us, I don't know, have some of these practical tips about what we can do to make our partner feel that love and appreciation that could lead to some pretty amazing steamy sex when we get back.
The Out Loud Perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life. on AmericaOutloud.com, Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Have you been dreaming of getting your own radio or podcast show out on the airwaves? Well, listen up. It's Dr. Andrea here. I don't know if you know this, but I've had a fun and fabulous 20-year career in professional broadcast media, including my own shows on the Discovery Channel and multiple appearances on The Oprah Winfrey Show, CNN, Thrive Global, and The Huffington Post. Now, a great deal of my work is bringing small business owners to the global stage with personal branding, publishing, and media production. And with my daily talk radio show on America Out Loud called Liberate Your Authentic Self, we're providing emerging talent with a place to be seen and heard around the world, but also on American talk radio networks such as iHeartRadio. But what you may not know is that after just 18 months, at America Out Loud, we have a monthly reach of 1 million listeners. So it's an amazing place to grow your reach. After airing on the radio, all of our shows are distributed to the major podcast networks, including iTunes, Stitcher, and more. And many hosts are enjoying between 10 and 30,000 downloads of each of their podcast episodes. And now it's time for network expansion and time for new talent. Starting this fall, we are expanding our weekday and weekend programming to include shows about a variety of topics. This is only for a limited time, and we're only taking on a handful of new talent. So if you think that hosting your own radio show could be the next big move for your visibility, and if you'd like to boost your reach, then I'd love to talk with you. Just send an email to drandrea@americaoutloud.com. You can host your own show. Host your own talk radio show and podcast on America Out Loud. Weekend or weekday slots are available. All shows are professionally produced with music and include social media promotion. Submit your own blog posts or articles for the network website for added branding and visibility. If this sounds like something you would love to do, then please do let me know so I can discuss it further with you. Reach me at drandrea@americaoutloud.com. And let's talk about your exciting future on the airwaves. You're listening to Liberate Your Authentic Self with me, Dr. Andrea Pennington. Check me out on Instagram at Dr. Andrea Pennington. And now, back to the show. My guest, Kate Moyle, believes that investing in your relationship with your partner, it doesn't have to take a huge amount of time or effort, but it's the intention. It's the little things that make all the difference. So if you want to learn how to make your partner feel loved and appreciated and special, then it's about creating these intimate connections. So Kate, I'd love if we could get a little practical here, because what I've seen with this technology, you know, we opened the show talking about technology, and I remember seeing an interesting documentary about how people are using virtual boyfriends and girlfriends. They're using, you know, virtual reality. They're using robots. So we could literally just replace the whole relationship thing with technology, you know, and they're perfect, by the way, right? So these robots would say, oh, good morning, Kate. How was your morning tea? Like, they could know everything that you like, the things you like to be asked, you know, that all of that could be programmed, right? Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if you've seen the film Her with Joaquin Phoenix and Scarlett Johansson.
No, I haven't.
You should watch it. It's like very kind of on theme for this conversation. But yeah, I mean, for example, the example that's in the news all the time is that Japan currently has a falling birth rate because so many people are engaging with partners that aren't in real life partners, you know, that they are having meaningful relationships with technology, and that we're actually beginning to now kind of see the impact of that. But as technology advances, it's going to be something that happens more and more and happens worldwide, because people are attracted to things that are new and exciting. And that, as you said, it could be that these robots or toys or whatever we're using are programmed exactly specifically to us. So they meet all our needs, they make us feel special, we feel great. And
that, and there's no drama, right? There's no drama. We don't have to go visit the in-laws. And the robot isn't going to like push our buttons and get on our nerves.
Yeah, and that it's, you know, it might be, for example, like more of a one-way relationship, but that one-way relationship is actually meeting all of our needs, and that we don't necessarily have to give them back to someone.
Mm. So how would you advise us? For those of us that don't want to get a virtual boyfriend, girlfriend, or have sex with a robot, what would you advise for those of us that want to reinitiate intimacy with our partner?
Yeah, I mean, a huge thing for me is about kind of consciously making an effort. You know, we see that especially busy couples, you know, a huge, huge number of us are rushing around. We go to work, we get back, we sort the bills, we sort the kids, put the kids to bed. And during that time, we haven't even stopped for 5 minutes and said to our partner, God, how's your day? You know, or, and you know, you gave the example earlier of you and your daughter kind of sitting and not having phones at the table. You know, that's a rule we have in our household, but also having time which is uninterrupted, that is us time, that is you and me, and making sure that we are connecting, even though it's in a small way. And we take it for granted that our partners will just always be there a lot of the time, because they are, and we get used to them being there, and then quite often suddenly we're surprised if they're not. But we invest in relationships so much at the start, we put in a huge effort, we present the best versions of ourselves, and then as soon as we get into relationships, quite often, because we see this exchange of stability and security and safety and routine and, you know, the novelty and excitement, so the two things kind of switch out. But we should also be mindful of making an effort for our partners, for investing time and attention in them. And, you know, we hope that they do the same for us as well.
But other than asking your partner, how was your day, and having, you know, those minutes of just you and me time, are there other, I know it sounds silly, but just as you were talking about the pillow app, sometimes we need like really clear instructions, kind of like, you know, do this for the next 5 days, focus on this or whatever. Can you give me some really practical stuff that we can do?
Yeah. So for example, a really practical example that I might give clients in sessions is, okay, I want you to put away your phones for mealtimes. I want you to get into bed half an hour earlier and take technology out of the room. I want you to do something so nice for the other one, or something that we kind of do quite often is each partner will write 10 things that they would like to do together on a piece of paper. They put them in a jar, and every week each partner picks one out, and that becomes something that they want to do together.
Nice.
So they don't know like what order that will be in or what it might be. And it could be trying a new sex position. It could be going for a walk, you know, around their city at night. There isn't a kind of plan for that. But paying attention is a huge thing, but also thinking, okay, what does my partner like? You know, what do I like? What did we used to do that we love together that we've kind of forgotten about, that's by the wayside, that is something that we used to really enjoy doing together and we're now missing, or we just got too busy? You know, how often do we hear from people, we're just too busy, I don't have time?
Yeah.
And we can make it, you know, as we said, that's why some of the pillow episodes are 5 minutes. There's no way that everyone can't find 5 minutes in their week to invest in their relationship.
And how about, I mean, if we're talking about technology again, I mean, how about the idea that we send our partner little messages? I'm not talking about crazy sexting, y'all, that's going to get you in trouble. But I mean, why not? Because in the beginning of our relationship, isn't that usually what turns us on? It's like, oh, I just got an email, or I just got a text. And like, we're in that lovey-dovey phase. So yeah. Why does that have to go away?
Yeah, it's anticipation is a huge aphrodisiac. We know that. So at the start of relationships, when we're saying to people, "Can't wait to see you later," and we get that kind of butterflies in our stomach, kind of tingling feeling, that is anticipation that is exciting us, that makes things feel desirable, that we are desiring and wanting. And there's no reason we shouldn't do that. You know, what we see is that couples that have been together a while forget to flirt. They don't flirt like they used to, and that is a huge part of it. You know, that kind of cheekiness, that sending them a text in the morning saying, "I really enjoyed touching you last night," or "The sex we had last night was great," or "I'd really like to just get into bed with you later." As you're saying, it doesn't have to be explicit, or it could just be, let's, you know, we talked about Netflix and chill. You could kind of send a text saying that, or "Let's make out on the sofa," or "I really want to cook you dinner." You know, something that is adding an element to, okay, like I'm off to work, you're off to work, let's catch up later and pick something up on the way home. You know, reminding our partners that we're thinking about them during the day.
Well, wonderful advice. I've enjoyed this conversation and the different directions we've taken it in. Kate, people can find you online at katemoyle.co.uk and the Pillow app. It's on Android and App Store.
It's just on App Store at the moment, so we are kind of working desperately, hoping that Android is our next development. But you can find us at www.pillow.io and at TryPillow on Twitter and Instagram.
Wonderful. Well, Kate Moyle, thank you so much for joining us today. I've enjoyed it. And I invite our listeners to find out about Kate. She's in central London. You can check her out at katemoyle.co.uk.
Find out why the alpha boss ends up lonely and sexless, and how to transform from queen bee to sex kitten. She's really intimidating, isn't she? Have you ever noticed how relentlessly competitive she is? She likes to be in control of her environment. Sound like you, Alpha Boss? You walk into the boardroom or company meeting, and with a steel-plated attitude, you expect nothing than the best from your peers. Whether at work, in a cutthroat corporate environment, or powering forward with business ventures of your own, you are tough, relentless, and don't stop until you get what you want. You are, in short, the incarnation of every boss woman who has fiercely taken on the business and entrepreneurial world and won. If this describes you, then you are what I lovingly term the alpha boss, and what others may call an alpha bitch. So what do I mean by alpha boss? Alpha bosses are those women who have channeled masculine energy to get ahead in realms that have long been dominated by, and are still dominated by, sexism and overt masculinity. So alpha bosses aggressively pursue their objectives while rarely tapping into their feminine spirit. Think you fit within this alpha boss archetype? Well, if we drill down to the underlying psychology of this archetype, you can quickly see why your life experiences have transformed you into an alpha boss. For example, so as to be seen as credible and competent in an environment that's charged with sexism or hyper-masculinity, you may have adopted masculine traits. And deep down, you may always be trying to prove that you're as good as, no, scratch that, make it better than a man. And this has proved widely, you know, successful for you. You've risen to the top, and you commandeer an indomitable spirit and an empire of your own. But there's something that's lacking in all of this picture. It's a healthy, pleasurable sex life. In short, you're having trouble being the girl in your heterosexual relationship. So, despite your hard-earned and well-deserved victories in other areas of your life, sometimes you feel like your sex life has ghosted you. So why does this happen to the alpha boss? Why is it that the alpha boss personality type is so often accompanied by not-so-satisfying sex? Well, for starters, many alpha bosses have trouble connecting with their man on a deep, intimate level because alpha bees are frequently disconnected from their own sexuality. Sex becomes more of a routine, almost animatronic performance instead of experiencing with gushing orgasmic pleasure. And the emotional connection is often really important for sexual satisfaction. So this lack of connection puts a strain on the alpha bee's sex life. Now, that's not the only way that your sexual enjoyment is hampered as an alpha boss. Hard as it may be to accept and acknowledge, alpha bees unwillingly and unwittingly emasculate their lovers. So, you and your man might not be reaching the full potential of sexual pleasure. Now, how do alpha bees emasculate their guys? Well, since they're always competing with men, whether openly stating that or not, men can find them severely intimidating. And in the corporate environment, that's fine. In fact, that's fabulous. But when it's time to dim the lights and drop your clothes and get down and dirty with your man, you're still subconsciously competing. So you're almost always the one in control. Even though he too might want to be a less passive participant and a more aggressive one. The result is that both of you wind up sexually frustrated. You feel confused because he's trying to find his place in this sexual relationship with you, and so are you, right? So what can be done? I've worked as a sexual health mentor, and I've helped people with all sorts of sexual troubles, and over time, I amassed a lot of experience that has been fully described in the book, The Orgasm Prescription for Women. And gleaning from this book, here's what I would recommend as the solution to this vexing problem, my dear Alpha B. The simple answer is that there are several activities or rituals that you can do that'll help you transform from that hard-driving queen bee to a purring sex kitten when sexy time comes around. By trying these activities, you can recapture your feminine energy when you want to, and you'll be more receptive to hot, fulfilling sex. Okay? Now, these activities and meditations can also be accessed for free. Just visit orgasmprescription.com/bonus. Second, you can have an I Love My Body week. This is where you get back in tune with that luscious feminine part of you. Now, this activity might seem a little odd at first, but give it a try. I think you'll enjoy it. So here's what you do. For one whole week, you dress yourself up, you put on perfume, and you adorn yourself as if you are a sensual goddess. Hook up your favorite speaker and play some music that you love and dance away all around your house, with or without your partner, with or without clothes. Why? Because by doing so, you'll be learning your body, learning the sexual, sensual aspect of your being. And you'll do it in a way that's playful, and it's not forcing you to like get sexual. And it's just allowing you to be loving to yourself. This is a really practical activity because it helps you appreciate yourself for all of your beautiful feminine sexuality. You can also use the power of meditation with an erotic fantasy scenario. So the idea here is that by meditating on an erotic fantasy scenario, you'll learn to appreciate and understand exactly what turns you on and leaves you sexually satisfied. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you've got to actually act it out, but it does provide clues about your sexuality that you may never have uncovered before. You could watch an erotic film, or read an erotic book, or simply imagine a wild fantasy of yours and really indulge in the experience. To do this most effectively, begin by retreating into a safe, quiet location. Could be your bedroom, could be your bathtub. And take a few slow, calm, deep breaths as you can quiet down the cacophonous chorus of thoughts racing through your mind. Then, choose a location where your fantasy will take place. Maybe it's your hometown. Maybe it's a tropical island in the middle of nowhere. Maybe it's in an upscale hotel room. Really let your mind create details about this location. And this location should make you feel free to unleash your sexuality without constraint. What's next? You'll need a co-star for your fantasy. It can be anyone, a current partner, a crush, someone your imagination creates, another woman, it's all good. As you walk yourself through this erotic fantasy, allow yourself to truly feel everything, thereby putting you in true connection with your sensual side. And if you are an alpha boss, that go-getting driven woman who's not afraid to call the shots in life, then give some of these techniques a try. And with a more satisfying sex life, you'll find yourself more content and relaxed, no matter how hard you're pushing yourself throughout your day. You can listen to the various audios of meditation techniques, including the erotic fantasy, the future orgasmic you, and the breath awareness meditations. Just visit orgasmprescription.com/bonus. And if you're curious to see what other personality traits might be impacting your experience of pleasure and sexual release, then check out the overview video of the 7 personality types which predict sexual hangups or orgasmic difficulty. Visit us at sensualvitality.tv. And to add a few more sexy ideas to your sexual repertoire, I invite you to explore your sexuality a bit more with the free Mindfulness 21 Days of Bliss program. The short daily rituals, meditations, and sexploration activities can open your mind and heart to a titillating new world of your vibrant, luscious sexuality. For more erotic, nerdy insights on how to improve your sex, love, or relationships, visit us online at sensualvitality.tv.
Until next time, my friends, just be present in the world. Be present with the people that you love and care about. And if they are separated by distance or miles, then you can use technology to connect, but really be present and mindful. So, my friends, until next time, I look forward to connecting with you online. Check me out at andreapennington.com. Much love. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at Dr. Andrea. And did you know? I'm on the radio daily. Visit AmericaOutloud.com to download the Talk Radio app.